This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Addy, third hour coming to you live from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience. July 19th. Wow. Oh, fast. All right, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. You'll never guess what happened in the Yankee game last night. I mean, I'm sure you've seen remnants, you know, a little scroll through Twitter, social media, a little blurb here. But to boil this down, before we actually play some stuff for you, Aaron Boone, who gets his money, he gets his money's worth. When he gets booted, he gets booted. For the third time this season, got the thumb. Arguing balls and strikes, that'll get you an immediate bounce. And that's fine. It's the way it is. You can't do that. And they'll give you a little leeway. You know, hey, where's that blue? Pick it up, blue. It's outside, blue. Leave it outside. You know, but if you become too engaged and too publicly engaged in balls and strikes, you're out. Everybody knows that it is what it is. So that happened last night. And Brendan Miller, who's a rookie umpire, was on the receiving end of, I mean, he was lambasted. He was absolutely crushed by Boone. Now, I want to play this. Somebody picked up the rant from Aaron Boone, and he was hot. I mean, veins popping, you know, sweat dripping down his face, foaming at the mouth. In terms of the manager-umpire confrontations, although this was incredibly one-sided, the poor kid just stood there and took every seat, didn't even blink, really. I got to take your medicine, Rook. It's all good. Brendan Allen's a rookie ump. This rated pretty high on the ticked-off meter. Boone was fired up. Now, this obviously is bleeped up. I want to play this for you. Guys, you can do this consecutively. First, play Boone, the actual rant, and then his post-game explanation. Go ahead, guys.
Get out, Aaron!
Just a big game, and I just felt like some things weren't going our way there early, and just wanted it to be, you know, I felt like it needed to be known, and nothing more than that. Sometimes in the heat of battle, you just kind of utter some things, but, you know, I feel that way about our guys, no doubt.
All right, so as you heard the bleeps, what he was saying was our guys are bleeping savages in the bleeping box. That's what he kept saying. And then, you know, listen, again, rightfully thumbed, and he got his money's worth, all good. But then baseball weighs in today, and baseball suspended Aaron Boone. Suspended him. You ready? You know why? He didn't touch him. He didn't touch him. For bullying him. That's what they suspended him for. That is pathetic. That is so pitiful. And you know what's really worse? They're reacting to the audio aspect of it. If that was a fan who captured that. If that was not picked up, he's not suspended. What baseball's doing is they are reacting to somebody's cell phone. That is a horrendous way to do business. Now, if Aaron Boone, you know, tilted his cap around and got face-to-face and hit him, like hit his forehead, hit his nose, hit his chest, whatever. Hey, one game, mandatory. There's no doubt about that. Suspended one game for bullying. Now, listen, I'm not going to say I didn't feel a little badly for Brendan Allen, rookie umpire, but you know what you're getting into, you know. And a rookie, just like rookie players have to carry bags. Rookie players have to, I mean, now they're even kind of doing away with this, which is what it is. But, you know, for years they'd have the rookies dress up, superheroes, dress up in skirts, cheerleaders. It's all fun, but you can't do anything now and have fun. So that's kind of going away. And now I guess you can't be overly verbally aggressive toward an umpire. This is pathetic. Am I missing something here, guys? Am I missing anything? Santer, Decel, what in the world am I missing? Why is he suspended?
I don't know that I want someone coming into my place of work and telling me explicitly that I'm terrible at my job that particular day.
Well, you're not comparing what we do for a living to that, are you?
It's his job.
Oh, but still, of course, yes, literally it is his job. Yes, that is true.
So what's the difference then?
Well, the difference is that's, well, this is probably not going to satisfy everybody, but that's baseball. That's baseball, Susan. It's baseball. It's what it is.
There's no crying in baseball.
No crying?
Here's my thing, right?
What?
I've been at games and I've heard managers mic'd up before, and you hear some of the stuff that comes out of their mouths when they're yelling at an umpire. Same thing as a coach in the NFL or in the NBA on the sidelines. You hear some of the stuff that they say. I mean, sometimes they'll get personal. Sometimes they attack the guy's his eyes and, you know, get off your knees and all these different really inappropriate things that can be viewed as bullying. This was not that. This was, hey, man, my guys are...
But I don't even agree with that first part. Like, and I know, you know, there's sexual innuendo and, you know, but that's not bullying. That's, I guess, in 2019, I guess it is.
Well,
umpire to coach to referee.
It's not just 2019, though. It's that the umpires can't really fight back. Right, because if the umpire starts fighting back...
No, they could jaw at him.
No, they can to an extent, but again, I mean, there's a different standard for manager versus the umpire. The umpire is kind of, just like this guy, Allen, he kind of stood there and took it. I think a lot of umpires kind of have to stand there and take it.
Are you kidding me, Mike? That's part of the... Not Brendan. Allen, the rookie umpire that was involved.
20, 30 years ago was different, but now you don't see umpires fighting back as much.
No, I disagree. I think that's one of the problems in baseball. Think about this, like... When there's, first of all, half these umpires, and I'm not saying Brendan Allen's among them, but he's too young in his umpiring career. I don't really have a book on how he responds to criticism yet. Although, I mean, he can show a little more resistance than he showed none. But a lot of these umps, think about this, like, and you see this all the time. They rip off their mask and they look like they're like proactively inviting confrontation, which is wrong. And that happened, forget about 20, 30 years ago. It's more like 20, 30 minutes ago. You see this all the time. A pitcher shouldn't do this because you can't argue balls and strikes. But say if, you know, borderline strike, boom. All right, it could be a ball, could be a strike. Catcher frames it. Pitcher doesn't get the strike. Throws it back to the pitcher. Pitcher might snap the ball back. Maybe stare at the umpire, right? The umpire, you see this all the time, just rips off his mask and just... really makes the situation worse. He starts shouting. He starts staring. Most of these umpires are actually culpable in the meltdowns. They make it worse.
I agree with that, but I think once an actual argument begins,
yep.
Typically, at least lately, over the past 10 years or so, the umpires, I think, have been instructed not to fire back during these. You see a lot more now than before, and I think partly it's because, I mean, these guys, you know, the managers are making $15 million and $10
million,
whatever it is.
Million, yeah.
The players are making $40 million, $30 million, whatever they're making.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the umpires have kind of been instructed not to. Now, you're right. Sometimes they do antagonize. I saw an umpire get at the Astros a couple days ago where he's like yelling at A.J. Hinch and the Astros bench.
Yeah, of
right?
course.
So there's
All
certainly
the
there's certainly
Every
some
night.
Of that antagonizing.
Every night. If you yeah. watch MLB Network for 2 hours straight, I promise you, Mike, at some point every night, now, there's some where there's obviously real sparks and where there's real flames. You'll see a little overreaction from an umpire every night if there's a full slate of games.
Yes, I
you
agree.
Will.
Again, an overreaction, a stare down, ripping his face mask off, maybe even escalating the situation or starting the situation. But I'm just saying, like, in these situations now where you have this face-to-face where the manager or the player is in your face, for the most part, the umpire kind of stays silent. Still say a word or two, but it's not as much fighting back. And I think partly it's just because of the back in the day, the umpires and the players and the managers were at least salary wise and not popular, but just generally speaking.
Well, the schism
similar,
wasn't nearly as great.
Exactly.
As it is
now. So I mean, now they're kind of a little bit more reserved when they get into this kind of heated situation. Now, do I think it's bullying? No, but I do hear some of the stuff that these guys say, and it's borderline. I mean, it's beyond inappropriate.
Okay, well, but specific to what Aaron Boone said about my
That's
guys,
exactly my point.
What
he said had nothing to do with bullying. Of
no.
all the guys to call bullying and to suspend and all this,
Weak.
Boone, literally, he didn't attack the guy.
No.
He just said, your strike zone is too big. Tighten it up.
Uh-huh.
Tighten it up. You've been terrible today. My guys are bleeping savages.
Uh-huh.
He didn't say you're a savage.
No.
He didn't say... Now... the Umpires Association said the brim of Boone's hat bumped into Allen's hat and that there was contact being made.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I mean, brim of, if it's chest to chest, maybe it's a little bit different. It's brim of hat to brim of hat. I don't care.
Yeah.
He didn't, it wasn't a personal attack. He didn't go after Allen.
No.
He just said, your strike zone sucks. You've been bad today. My guys are savages.
Be better. That's what he's telling him. What's up, Diso? You want to chime in?
I mean, he did throw in a line of saying, I do feel bad for you, as in saying, like, you're not good at your job.
Okay. So what?
I mean, that's a personal attack.
Yeah. That's not a personal attack. By the way, speaking of personal attacks, I got hit with one the other day. I have to tell you, it was such a witty, not even retort, because I didn't say anything, although I did give him a little glare. So I'm coming out of swimming with the kids the other day, right? And thank you, Mike. And we were going in to get him a bagel right after it. And this, I couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman initially, but they're coming around the bend with some speed, probably 30-ish, 35 miles. It's the kind of spot in a parking lot in like a parking mall kind of deal where you're supposed to be going 8, 9, 10 miles per hour. She was going at least, you know, at least 30. And I squeezed, you know, I'm holding both of their hands. I squeezed their hands to make sure, and I kind of pulled them back a little bit. And I gave her a little look, didn't say anything. And I didn't know she was a woman initially. She had such a money line. And again, I didn't say anything. She pulls her head out the window and she goes, you think I didn't see that big, bald, shiny head? I said, that's creative. That's good. That's good. I mean, she looked like half a freak herself, so I didn't really, but I didn't say anything. But I'm like, yeah, all right, you won. He was still going 35. Listen, I think the primary role of an umpire clearly is to do their job well. The other job is to diffuse situations, not amplify them, all right? So I want to give Brennan Allen credit in that regard. But I think that the use of the word bully is really just utterly unnecessary and actually quite pathetic. I mean, the more, it's just pathetic. And I said that to start the segment. It's just weak. It's really baseless. It's just, I don't get it. Because now, if something really truly, let me say this. If this is high school baseball, I would be okay suspending the manager 2 games. If this is college, D1 through D3, doesn't matter. Suspend them 2 games. It's the major leagues. You drop a few F-bombs, please. Bullying? They can't be dropping that in Major League Baseball. Yes, Diso.
Does Boone use that same language with a 20-year vet?
Don't know.
I think that's part of it, though.
But why does it matter?
I think MLB at least is looking at it as he was targeting a rookie ump.
What, like a hazing?
Yeah, in some ways, yeah. God.
I could see the umpires union doing that. I don't know that Major League Baseball's role is to necessarily translate it that way.
That might not be their job. You might be right there.
You know, I mean, I could see the union, the umpires union puts out the, hey, you know, made contact bill to bill. All right, that's even pushing it. But if that literally happened, which I didn't decipher, but maybe it did, then that's their job to represent their umpire. He's part of that union. Baseball's, the only responsibility is to get the call right, is to dole out the proper punishment and do the right thing. And I don't think they did the right thing at all. Matter of fact, I think they wildly swung and missed. It's bad. 1-855-212-4227. Do you think I missed that shiny bald head? What a line. And she said it with such venom, too. I'm like, that's good. Sounds like my wife when she gets mad at me. Nah. Meanwhile, she had like 9 colors hair. She did. Like, she had green, neon, it was pink, it was red. I'm like,
it's just too bad Margaret wasn't there to help de-shine that shiny head.
Well, because we're the best. We let Margaret go after an hour, basically. Nah, she does a great job. Although the first segment, I don't know how I made it through the first segment. Oh, my God, it was bad. It's so nice and cool in here now. I love it. It's chilly. I love it chilly. Oh, the beads of sweat start dropping. There's nowhere to hide. So you guys don't have that problem. It's what most people sweat when it's hot. But the problem when you shave your head is that the beads have nowhere to go. So they just drip into your face.
I was kind of like playing coy with you because I knew you like it like 55 degrees in there.
No, 65. 65 or 66.
I was waiting for you to say something, and I knew you were going to, and I didn't know what to say because we got an email earlier today. It was the whole building.
Ooh.
It wasn't just our floor. It's the whole building.
What did it say?
Due to like the temperatures this weekend, and they're trying to avoid a blackout in our area, which we had last weekend.
Which we had last weekend, sure.
That they were going to be running the air conditioning considerably less today.
So they were going to proactively torture us, preemptively torture us, to proactively avoid a blackout.
Correct.
Okay. And we all had to suffer because of that.
Correct. So I tried to avoid you because I knew it was coming.
Yeah, I don't really get too mad too often. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do the show. And here's the other problem. At least if Tiki's here, Tiki's off today, obviously. Although either that or Tiki's been incredibly quiet today. But if Tiki's here, when we have the different camera shots, you have the one shot now of me. You go back and forth. You have the joint shot when it's Tiki and I both, obviously. There's another shot, just me. But at least if it's just me and, like, Tiki's talking, I can, like, wipe my shiny, sloppy head and I could kind of reset myself and come back and add to the conversation. I'm saying to myself, oh, my, I got nowhere to hide. I might have to do the show with a towel. I was actually thinking about starting the show with a towel. I got to take a picture of that. I got to take a picture of the fan and the buckets of ice that Dave. I still don't understand the ice, though. Did you understand that?
You asked for ice. We gave you ice. I don't know what you were doing with it.
I mean, I meant for my head. He put the ice in front of the blowing fan, thinking that that would provide an Arctic breeze.
He was trying to do anything to help you out.
Did he really? I appreciate the creativity.
I feel like that would work, wouldn't it?
No. Why would that work? That wouldn't work. No.
I mean, no. I mean, if you think about how airflow works, mm-hmm. if the air around the wind is colder, then yep. therefore the breeze that you feel on your skin is colder. But so therefore having ice next to a fan, you would think that I would logically that
logically
the air
you would,
blowing towards you would be colder.
Logic goes out the window because all of the cold air that was theoretically coming my way disperses. There it is. Look at the setup here. Love that. That's what they were firing at me the first segment. Because I'm about, it's about a little less than a free throw, probably about 12 or 13 feet away. So by the time, yeah, it may have had good intentions to arctically blast me, but then it obviously diverts to the rest of the room because it's 13 feet away. You know what I mean? All right, let's get to, let's just get out of that. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. A little golf, all right? I want to reset my take on Tiger Woods. I want your reaction, what the umpires will take calls next segment. Big Ten stuff on the table from Harbaugh, what he said. Let's take some calls. 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, and we're going to use it here. Get to these calls, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So just about 30 minutes before we blast you into your weekend, here on Tiki and Tierney. Tiki is out. He's back on Monday. Enjoyed a day off. Well deserved. Let's get some calls, see what's going on. Pennsylvania, Kerry has us up on the tube on the simulcast, CBS Sports Network. Kerry's chiming in. Kerry, how are you today?
I am great. How are you?
Awesome. What's happening? Thanks for the call, Kerry.
Sure. Hey, I was like watching all the footage from last night. I was watching the game, and my main concern was Brett Gardner's reaction in the dugout. I don't understand how he was reacting or why he was reacting that way.
He was not happy. And it's funny, I didn't even really notice that because, you know, I have two little kids, so between getting them ready for bed and, you know, I watch the games in spurts, obviously, unless it's like a huge, you know, NBA Finals or something a little different. But I missed that initial outburst by Gardner. He almost ripped the top of the dugout off. Look at this on the TV. Look at the top of the dugout rattling. I mean, he's going crazy. That's actually a pretty good effort by him. I like
it. Toddler. So that was my main concern. I'm like, why is he reacting like that? He's my favorite player. And I'm like, whoa, what is going on?
Listen, and Kerry, it's that kind of, not so much temper, but it's that kind of passion for the game that made Brett Gardner a ball player and has kept him around this long. Because he's, you know, he's not 6'3". He's not Stanton. He's not Judge. He's a little scrappy guy who's carved out a hell of a career. That's how he's wired. It's awesome.
Yes, he is. Thank you for my call.
Thanks for making it. I appreciate it, Kerry. Thank you very much. Let's go to Louisiana. Chad is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Chad.
What's happening, fellas?
Chad, what's going on, bud?
Oh, man. Got to tell you, listen to the show every day, guys. I love it.
I love it.
Like a lot to you.
Awesome, man.
Makes my day. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to comment on the umpire situation. You know, I've been an umpire for several years,
okay.
High school and small college stuff. But,
okay.
Let me tell you, one of the things that bothered me about it is it's not really bullying, but to me it's more intimidation.
Okay.
You know, we've as an umpire, I've had bad games, you know, and guys come out on you, and you know when you're having a bad game. You know, you kind of – I'll sit there and I'll let the guys have their piece. You know what I'm saying? They get a little piece. I might be having a bad game, a bad call. come up to me, tell me what you got to tell me. And look, they get out there sometimes. They curse. They talk about. They may talk about your kids. They may talk about whatever. That kind of stuff you blow off.
But they talk. Chad, they talk. Now you said high school and low level college. You have high school high school coaches and college coaches, which by extension are still educators and teachers of young men and women. They bring your children into the conversation. Did you just say that, or do you really mean that?
Some guys will. Not many. There's a few guys out there, but they'll do it. They're not stupid. They'll do it quiet to where not everybody hears it.
Wow.
They won't be derogatory about your kids. They'll say comments like, I can't believe your kid has to grow up with that or something like that.
Okay.
They won't directly degrade the kid, but
gotcha.
They'll bring your family members in.
I got it. That's so weak. Keep going, Chad. Gotcha.
Yeah, but look, as an older guy, I'm an older guy. You know, as an older umpire, you got shorter. But as a younger guy, you tend to take that a little more until you figure it out, you know, and then, like, especially arguing balls and strikes. They're not supposed to be arguing balls and strikes, but that's a little short. You know, but generally, I'll let them have their piece, and when I'm done with it, I'll say, okay, coach, you had your piece. That's enough. I'm done.
Yep.
They get to the dugout, and I'm walking away. And if they turn around and follow, then I'm dumping them.
Then you got to thumb them.
Here's the thing that got me with Aaron is what he did is – umpires have two rules. Don't put your hands on me. Don't touch me.
Uh-huh.
And don't put your fingers in my face.
Uh-huh.
Pointing in his face the whole time is kind of what got the intimidation factor. And as an umpire, I would not have tolerated. I would have said right away, get your fingers out of my face or I'm dumping you. And if he didn't, I would have dumped him instantly.
That's fair.
You know, and most senior guys would have probably led that way.
That's fair. Good call, Chad.
And I got to see it at lunch with an employee and we were looking at it, and I said I had no problem. But when he started pointing in his face, that fired me up as a fellow umpire, and I'm be like, that's what I would not have taken.
I got you. All right, listen, it's a great call. Thanks for making it, Chad. I appreciate your perspective. I don't have, obviously. I did ump a little bit. Like, it was like, you know, I don't know, seven and 8 year olds. I mean, they're not gonna, if they start getting on you, you better pack up shop. It's gonna be a long career. That's one thing it's going to be brutal.
Well, you remember there was that 13-year-old or 12-year-old umpire who started brawl starting during a 7-year-old game. So
as much fun as I'm having with my little guy starting to really figure out the game, and we took some batting practice today, and he 4 years old, he knocked a few over the fence again. It's just so cool to see his dad. I know that there's going to be overzealous parents, and Teague's been warning me, and you've been warning me. Me, I'm going to do what my dad did. I think my dad had the best approach. My dad would never miss any games, even in college. I mean, he was there all the time. And he would go down the right field line. And it's funny because when I look back, like in real time, I'm like, man, why is my dad sitting behind the dish? Mix it up and get with the rest of the parents. Like, I would think that once in a while, to be honest. But as a dad now, I can see why he did it. He would sit down the right field line, and he'd have Gatorade for his son when he's done. Both newspapers, because he's reading them cover to cover in between innings, and he would just watch. And he wouldn't get involved in the nonsense, never chirped at an ump, never. Never chirped at a parent, obviously, and would never, never chirped at a kid. Just watched his son play, rooted for his son's teammates, and when his son was done, here's what you did right, here's what you did wrong, let's go get something to eat. That's the best way to do it. Because if you start, you know, number one, I'm not going to want to sit there and chat because I'm going to be wanting to watch both my son and my daughter, so I don't really want to talk to you. And I'm certainly not going to be on these umps. I mean, Ack, we're both from Brooklyn. I don't remember parents being overly aggressive back then.
No.
They really weren't.
No. I mean, there were some that were.
There's always, of course.
There were some that were on their kids more after the game, but not toward umpires.
That's true.
Or the coaches.
You know, that's just a generational respect thing, authority.
Yeah.
And you give the authority, you know.
Yep.
Tap to the umpire, the official. All right.
If anything, my dad was harder on me than the umpires.
Yeah, the only time. It's funny. I was just telling about my dad how we would watch. The only time he would get on me is. If I lacked sportsmanship, like, you know, never missed it. He coached us in basketball, missed a shot, whatever. I was going nowhere in basketball, not a big deal. But like if I threw a jersey or a water bottle or chirped at a ref or got teed up, I was scared to go back to the bench. And going back to the bench, I was going. All right, Axe Update is right now. We'll come back. We've got the Blast finish up a little Open Championship for the weekend. Rich Ackerman right now. All right, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney. It's brought to you by our friends over at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, Craig Crook at True Blue Packer Fan. Okay. You think Tiger's going to play on the senior tour when it's time, or will he just walk away? You know, I don't think he will. I could see Phil doing it more than Tiger. You know, Phil's always tinkering with the swing, tinkering with his weight, tinkering with whatever, you know, creating stuff. Tiger's changed his swing over the years, but it's pretty much out of physical necessity. I just think that I don't think he'll see any great allure, any great appeal in that. And this goes back to the conversation we had to start the show. He's been grinding since he was three. I mean, Phil has two to a lesser, maybe five or six. But I think Tiger, when Tiger's done on tour, I think Tiger's going to be close to done with golf. I think he'll be into course design, which he's already started to get into. I'd be stunned if I see him if we see him on the senior tour. I don't see that. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We'll do the blast in a moment here. You know, and the other thing, too, about the senior tour, this goes back to some of those, oh, God, what were they? I think they were called the Shell. Mike, can you look this up? You don't even have to look it up. I think it was the Shell. Something Shell. I think that was the title sponsor, I think, like Arnie, Grand Slam, Shell Heroes, some sort of golf competition. That doesn't matter. It's all right, Mike. It's all good. In the 80s or in the 90s, like where the aging players would compete, $25,000, $50,000. But, you know, they were looking to make more money. These guys have such generational wealth. I just don't see Tiger. I mean, I don't know. At the age of 56, there's Tiger Woods with a 7-iron from the fairway here to Royal Lithium trying to win the Senior Open. I just don't envision that at all. I just don't. Hey, the great Manny Pac. No, not supposed to read that one. How did I mess that up? I actually did it the right way, too, and I guess I messed it up at the end. There you go. Hey, this weekend, Major League Fishing's General Tire World Championship continues. All right. Down a little fishing. I was just talking to my guy, Jody Mack, who's coming up next here for Bill Ryder, about fishing. Love fishing. Love it. Jody doesn't. I love it. So it was pretty much a one-way conversation. And later on, the action moves to the courts, highlighted by Big Three Basketball and World Team Tennis, all on CBS. And the Big Three is going to be rocking this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. Back on the Big Three train, I'll be in Kansas City tomorrow. That'll be on CBS. And I'll be in Oklahoma City on Sunday. I'll tell you, it's amazing. Cube is at every single event courtside. And I interviewed him on the first game that I did, which was really cool for me. I mean, I don't know if it was cool for him. It was cool for me to do that. And, you know, the thing that I said to him, the thing that I walked away with is that you just look at the concept of the Big Three, and there's been so many people who just kind of lend their name to an endeavor. All right, yeah, throw my name on it. Let's get it off the ground, whatever. We'll get some money because of my name. And Cube is just every facet of the operation. He beats us to the arena. Like, we get there to go over, you know, TV, the script, and are you going to try to interview this guy at this time, or Nancy Lieberman here, or LL Cool J's come to the game, hook up with him in between game one and two. Got to set up the whole day. He's out there shooting jump shots, and then he's with the DJ and the musical aspect. And by the way, when we had him on, I was clowning him a bit, as much as you would clown Ice Cube. And I said I challenged him to a shooting contest, which I still stand by. But I got to tell you, his jump shot's a little better than I thought. His jump shot looks pretty smooth. Now, he's not really going out. He's more of a mid-range guy, unless I just catch him when he's warming up. I don't see him. Yeah, he'll mess around with the four-pointer, try to hit one. I don't see him really throwing darts from behind the arc, but that 15 to 17-footer, pretty money. Nice, compact, smooth, effortless stroke. He can shoot a little bit, so might have to actually break a sweat to beat him. All right, let's get to the blast. Here we go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Alrighty, Mike, what you got?
All right, 10 minutes left in the show. One person for the blast. Mm. 1 minute per person. Can we get it in?
I'm going to have to think of something to finish the show with. We'll do a little open championship. Go ahead, Mr. Samter.
Packers president Mark Murphy says they pushed hard for Khalil Mack, but the Raiders thought the Bears would have the better pick, hence why they went with the Bears rather than the Packers. And ironically, the Packers had the better pick than the Bears. So do you think the Raiders made the wrong call by going to the Bears?
No. Or? Listen, of course, it turned out to be the wrong call, but you've got to react to what you know, and you've got to react to the intel that you have. And, you know, the Bears, in terms of what they provided us as fans, not to mention let alone executives, is that they were behind the Packers. So I think it makes sense. It's a calculated risk anytime you trade somebody like that. But if you're going to make that kind of a trade, you got to find somebody that you believe is going to be, you know, 4-12-ish, 5-11-ish, young quarterback, growing pains, young coach, you know, still trying to stabilize things. So there's no way. While, of course, it turned out to be the wrong call, it would be it would be an unfair second guess, because at the time I thought they did the right thing. No problems with it.
So J.R. Smith, long rumored to go to the Lakers after his stint was over with the Cavs.
Yep.
Turns out it doesn't seem like he's going to go to the Lakers. He's actually meeting with the Bucks.
Yeah.
Do you like the idea of Milwaukee and their young team getting a guy like J.R. Smith who could be disruptive?
You know, I don't have a problem with it, because I think that, you know, there's, you know, where J.R. gets a little loose and a little unpredictable is when you have, you know, a culture that is not fully established, where winning isn't necessarily primary. That's where his head begins to wander. But I've got, you know, listen, JR's a good guy. I mean, everybody around the league actually really likes JR. Yeah, a little temperamental when he was young, but he does bring an explosion. He's not going to start. He's going to bring an explosion off the bench. He's going to bring some 3-point marksmanship, spread the court. Pretty good athlete as well. Still, decent defender when he's into it. Still, I have no problem with this. I'm okay. Yeah.
So the Padres are under 500, 16.5 out in the West.
Mm-hmm.
But are now considered by many insiders the front runners for the Indians' Trevor Bauer. Should the Padres be buyers right now?
Yeah. First of all, they're 16.5 out in the West because the Dodgers are destroying people, and the Dodgers have run away and they're hiding from people. What are they in the wild card? They're only a couple of back, right? I mean, a couple back? I don't know. I'm just guessing. I haven't checked the wild card in a few days. What is it, Mike? 5-6 games? I mean, they're certainly right there. It's got to be right around there.
They are 4.5 back, yeah. But there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams ahead of them.
Give me the teams in front of them real quick.
Nationals, Brewers,
Cardinals. Hold on, do it slow. Go ahead. Nationals, a little worried about them.
Brewers.
Brewers have some issues.
Cardinals.
Cardinals have some issues.
Phillies.
Phillies are dangerous, but they have issues.
D-backs.
I don't worry about the D-backs.
Giants.
Forget about the Giants.
Rockies.
Forget about the Rockies.
And they're tied with the Pirates.
Forget about the Pirates. It's a smart move. That would be that's fair. You got to look at now. I hear what you're saying. When you have to leapfrog, it's one thing to be 4.5 out, and there's two teams in front of you. Control your own destiny. You hope one of them gets on the skate. To have to win and have 4, 5, 6 teams stumble, but you know what? There's a lot of the season left. You have all of August and all of September. That's not quite 60 games, but you have a good 50-ish games to get this thing right if you do this right before the deadline. So. Plus, it further emboldens their fans, sends the message. I'm okay with that as well. Yep, I would like to see him go do it. Why not?
Speaking of the D-backs in the West, apparently they're willing to eat a major portion of Zach Greinke's monster contract if they trade him.
Let's see.
Do you think that Greinke could still be an ace on the right team?
An ace? No, I don't think he could be an ace anymore. And, you know, Zach Greinke, that's a tough one. Who did he come up with the other day? It wasn't when we had Cliff Floyd on. It was the last MLB, it was Harold Reynolds. It was Harold Reynolds when we previewed the Seattle Mariners documentary on the Major League Baseball Network, and we actually talked about Zach Greinke. And, you know, one of those numbers, first of all, those numbers are amazing. The batting average against, to me, you know, you want to use OPS for a hitter, there's a ton of stats for a pitcher, but to me, batting average against reflects are guys really comfortable in the batter's box. Are they getting good wood? Are they squaring the bowl? And when you're hitting 225 against somebody, the answer is no. So Zach Greinke has found a way to revitalize his career. But now, and I'm just pulling this up, Zach Greinke's numbers, let's see. All right, so he is making 34 this year, 35 next year, 35 the year after. That's 70, and what remains prorated this year, that's nothing really. $76 million? I don't know if I could pull that trigger. I don't know. He's tightly wound. Would he work in a city like New York with the expectations for the Yankees? I don't know. I'm not saying he wouldn't be an asset. Like, if the Braves got him, that might be over. The Braves might go to the World Series. But that's a lot of money. I don't fully trust him, though.
This I thought was interesting. We've talked a lot about the Big Ten today. Well,
yep.
New head coach Ryan Day at Ohio State said that Lincoln Riley has been a great resource and help him prepare becoming a head coach following in a legend's footsteps. What do you think about Lincoln Riley of the Big 12 helping Ryan Day of the Big 10?
You know, I I understand why some people, some ardent fans of either conference would be, oh, this is out of bounds. You can't do that. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. And, you know, Ryan Day is still going to have to learn how to captain that ship with no life preserver. Because when you're a head coach there, you either sink, you either swim or you drown. And really not a lot of treading water too long. You know, eventually you're going to get some resolution. So I don't care what Lincoln Riley tells him. You sit down, you watch film, you prep him a little. There's nothing that Lincoln Riley can possibly do that can save Ryan Day's job if it's ever in jeopardy. It just, that's not the way it goes. You still have to be great at what you do. And you still have to get great players, as they will, to go to Columbus. And you still have to get them to stay in Columbus. And you still have to get them to mature and develop their football skills in Columbus and win big games in Columbus. So on Saturday, when it's 3rd and 13 and you try to stop Michigan, Lincoln Riley's inconsequential to Ryan Day's life at that point.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right. What are you guys doing this weekend?
I'm doing something that I thought I would never do in my life this weekend.
Oh, there's a lot of jokes there, but we'll gloss over those. You're doing something you never thought you'd do. Does it involve risk, or is it something with marriage? I don't mean that you're getting married, but is it something about the wedding, or is it like something risk that you never thought you would dive off a cliff?
A little bit of neither.
Okay, all right.
It has something to do with something that I'm going to be doing that she enjoys, that is not necessarily up my alley, but I'm
dancing?
Biting the bullet because it's her birthday gift.
Ballroom dancing, something like that?
No, I actually love ballroom dancing. I'd be all over that.
Okay.
But it does kind of involve dancing to an extent.
Is
or watching somebody dance.
Is some sort of Broadway show?
I mean, I love Broadway, so it's not
Broadway,
that either.
So it's not that, no. What is it?
So who's one of the most maligned Yankees of all time?
Maligned Yankees? Ed Whitson from my generation, from our generation.
More recent?
You're not talking about A-Rod.
A-Rod.
Well,
who's A-Rod married to or getting married to potentially?
Oh, you're going to see J-Lo.
Yeah, tonight, J-Lo.
It's awesome. So why did you think
I couldn't name for you more than one song. I know Jenny on the Block or Around the Block or something like that.
I'm still
from
Jenny
the block.
From block.
I know nothing about J-Lo. I know that she's entertaining and the fiance loves him, loves her.
She's
so
gorgeous. She's not old. Well,
she's 50.
She's 50.
She looks great for her age.
She looks great. Listen. Yeah, I don't want to sound too crass here, but if you lined her up with 30-year-olds, she might be the best-looking one there. I mean, Diesel, you're younger than me. Mike and I are older than you, so obviously, as you get older, maybe that gap is narrow. I mean, you're 30. Do you see her as beautiful, or do you see her as old, as aging?
J-Lo is absolutely stunning.
She's phenomenal.
Stunning.
Now, she's also got 30,000 makeup artists to make her look that way. Her skin's flawless, her hair, all that stuff. But, I mean, every entertainer does, so that's not a shot at her. She is absolutely stunning.
To be fair to Mike, I don't know that I'm clamoring to go to a J-Lo concert.
No, nor would I. Listen, my wife wanted to see Madonna. This was, I guess it's before I moved to San Francisco. Yeah, so this is probably like 2010 at the Garden. I don't want to go see Madonna. And I could name 15 of her songs. I mean, she's a legend, even though she's half a whack. But the concert was awesome. I mean, she's an incredible entertainer.
I'll take Madonna over J-Lo any day.
No, I would too. I would too. But the point,
for musically, not.
well said. But the point is that sometimes as fiancés and eventually as husbands, you do things you don't want to do. It's what you do. That's how you get to go play cards. That's how you get to go do your fantasy draft. That's how you go get to play golf. That's how you go get to go to this casino. That's how you go get to do the things you're going to go get to do. No?
Well, the benefit is then tomorrow we're going to go see Lion King, which I'm pretty psyched about. Not on Broadway, the new movie.
Have you seen it on Broadway?
3 times.
It's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. I actually got to go backstage and wear some of the costumes.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What costume? Zumba?
I tried to put on the elephant, but it was too big. I put on the rhinoceros, which was amazing. And I got to hold some of the gazelles.
That was a great production. It is a great production. I can't wait to see Lion King. I can't wait to see that with the kids. That's going to be phenomenal. So you going to see it tonight, like a midnight show? Are you going?
No, J-Lo tonight and then Lion King tomorrow.
Look, this guy's got his very theatrical weekend. D-Cell, enjoy yourself, everybody. We'll catch you on Monday. Jody Mack up next for Bill Ryder. Peace. We'll see you.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.